The readings for this fifth Sunday after Epiphany, the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians. Brethren, put ye on, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if any have a complaint against another. Even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so you also. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do, in word or in work, all things do ye in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand for the Gospel, which is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the multitudes. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men were asleep, his enemy came and oversowed cockle among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and had brought forth fruit, then appeared also the cockle. And the servants of the good man of the house coming said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Whence then hath it cockle? And he said to them, An enemy hath done this. And the servants said to him, Wilt thou that we go and gather it up? And he said, No, lest perhaps gathering up the cockle, you root up the wheat also together with it. Suffer both to grow until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather up first the cockle, and bind it into bundles to burn. But the wheat gather ye into my barn. Thus are the words of today's Gospel. Please be seated. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, some of the most touching scenes in the Gospel are those in which we find our Lord with sinners, working with them, having mercy upon them. And perhaps one of the most touching scenes is when St. Mary Magdalene comes to him while he is at Simon the Pharisee's house and washes his feet with her tears and dries his feet then with her hair. We are told that Simon the Pharisee, he sat there and he looked on St. Mary Magdalene and he, in a sense, despised her. He thought within his heart, well, if he were truly a prophet, he would know what sort of woman this is. He made a rash judgment, thinking St. Mary Magdalene, who certainly was a sinner, still was a sinner, when in fact she was not. She had done penance for her sin. She truly was good wheat. She was not cockle, as Simon the Pharisee supposed. She was good wheat, and she was bringing forth worthy fruits, fruits worthy of penance. In today's parable, our Lord, he speaks about this wheat and the cockle which are growing up side by side. And of course, they represent souls. Some souls are good wheat, and some souls are cockle. Some souls are on the path to heaven, and some souls are on the path to the fires representing hell. But if we have ever seen wheat and cockle, this weed, we know that you can't distinguish them as they grow. The only way to tell them apart is once they bear fruit. And we are taught in this a very valuable lesson. We cannot rashly judge our neighbor because we do not know whether they are wheat or cockle. It is God who judges the heart. So today, let us consider this sin against the eighth commandment, the sin of rash judgment. And to understand better what it is, we can certainly define this sin, but perhaps better, it would be better to consider a story. There was, in Dublin, a rich Protestant who had a certain servant in his house who was very ill. And they called for the priest of the village. They called for a priest. And it was a particularly stormy night. So this priest went out and he trudged the rain and the mud, the wind. And he came to the house and he gave last rites to this dying servant. And afterwards, the Protestant who owned the property, he invited the priest to have a drink by the fireside to refresh himself before he went back. And he got onto the topic of the clergy. And he said, yes, you know, many of the clergy, they live high in the hog, so to speak. And they let these humble priests do all the work and they do nothing. He said, and the priest asked, oh, is that, you think so? And he said, yes. I mean, certainly right now, the Cardinal Coulin, certainly he's in his palace drinking his punch by the fireside, while here you are trudging through the streets. And the priest told him, well, I think you're mistaken in your opinion of the cardinal. He said, really? Well, why do you say that? He said, well, I am the cardinal. So certain we see from this what rash judgment is, jumping to conclusions without any foundation, supposing that our neighbor has sinned and condemning him for this sin. Rash judgment, it comes from many places. There are many sources of rash judgment. Some simply have a natural disposition to a certain bitterness, a certain harshness. St. Francis de Sales tells us this. And certainly that's a great danger for them, and they need to see a spiritual physician if they find that's the case, that they have a tendency to judge harshly those around them. But rash judgment also comes from vice in ourselves. When someone is good, when they see the actions of another, they think good of them. But someone who is evil, who is living in vice, when they see others' actions, they start imputing to them sin. They start condemning them for sin in order to justify themselves. Well, he is doing it. He must be doing this. And so I'm not really that bad. Yes, the wicked are very, very quick to suspect evil of others. It often comes from pride. Perhaps this is the main root of rash judgment, pride. Often very open pride, as we see in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, the Pharisee who said to himself, I am not as other men, I'm not like this publican, a sinner. Yet who went away justified? It was the publican. Sometimes that pride is very open, but often it's hidden. We are satisfied in finding faults in others. We look for them because it gives us a sense of superiority. And we should be very careful of this, trying to find fault in what others say always, because it puffs us up. What is the evil of rash judgment? First of all, rash judgment, it displeases God greatly. And we see this in that parable I just mentioned, the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. I am not as other men. We see how harshly our Lord condemns this. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Why does it displease God so much? It's because judgment is God's office. Judgment belongs to God. The chief malice of our sins, it's in our heart. And none of us can see the heart of our neighbor. It's shrouded in darkness to us. We don't know what their intentions are. We don't know what the circumstances are. Only God sees those things. As it says in the Psalms, the searcher of hearts and reins, the innermost things, is God. God knows the heart. God knows the intention. We are so often wrong. And when we rashly judge, we're taking this office of God. We're usurping God's office. It's His duty to judge hearts, not ours. And we take that to ourselves, and when we do it, we do a very poor job of judging. We get it wrong. God's judgments are merciful. Ours are harsh. God's judgments are true. Ours are so often false. And even if we do judge rightly, we forget when we start condemning others, we forget that if it was not for God's grace, I would be doing the same thing and perhaps worse. The only reason I'm not is because God has given me the grace not to fall into this sin. We do a very poor job after we've usurped God's office of judging hearts. Yes, God has not appointed us as judges over our neighbors. Judgment is mine, saith the Lord. So it is evil because of this, and it is evil also because it does great harm to our neighbor. Our neighbor has a right to a good name. He has a right to our honor and esteem. And we take away what is due to him. Rash judgment is a sin against justice. It's not only a sin against charity. So often we say, I've had uncharitable thoughts. What we should say is we are rashly judging and doing an injustice to our neighbor. As stealing is an injustice, taking something that's due to him. We are taking away something due to our neighbor, the good honor and esteem that they should have. And it leads to many evils. Detraction, calumny, insults, all of these things have their root in rash judgments very often. There is a story to show the evil that it does. There is a man who lived in the Dakotas, and his wife died, so he was living in solitude. He lived with his very young boy, an infant still, and he had a Great Dane there to protect his boy. And this man went out hunting, entrusting his boy to this dog, to this Great Dane. He left, he went hunting, and he came back, and the whole cabin was in disarray, everything turned upside down. And he saw the Great Dane there, with his teeth bared and blood on his lips. And he jumped to conclusions, took his gun and shot the dog, thinking it had killed his child. And then suddenly he heard cries from underneath a sofa nearby, the sofa that had been turned over, and he looked and he found his baby, and right next to it, a wolf. When we rashly judge, certainly we're talking here of people, not of animals, but we do the same thing. We jump to conclusions, and we do great harm to our neighbor. We harm them in their reputation by our detractions and our calumnies. And then rash judgment, finally, it does great harm to our own soul. We disobey God's command. St. Francis de Sales points out, we reverse God's commandments. God tells us not to judge others, and he tells us to judge ourselves. And yet when we rashly judge, we do just the opposite. We don't judge ourselves, and we do judge our neighbor. We are disobeying and inverting God's commandments. Why seest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, and seest not the beam in thy own eye? We have a beam in our eye, and yet we're concerned about our neighbor and the mote that we think we see there. How often we're wrong, though. It does evil to us, and it is harshly punished. Our Lord has told us, and these words should make us tremble, judge not, that you may not be judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. If we judge harshly, we can expect a harsh judgment from God. If we are forgiving, we can expect forgiveness from God. And that is what we say in the Our Father every time we pray it. Forgive us our trespasses, just as we forgive those who trespass against us. As I am forgiving, so forgive me. Those words should make us tremble if we are rashly judging our neighbor. That is why St. Thérèse of Lisieux, she resolved, I will never think uncharitably of anyone, so that he may judge me leniently, or rather, not at all. So what are the remedies of rash judgment? The epistle gives them to us. Mercy and patience, first of all. Put ye on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. But most especially charity. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. St. Francis de Sales says that charity, it's the healer of many ills. But he said most especially of this ill, rashly judging. It is a healer of this ill in particular. If our affections are loving, then certainly our judgments will be the same. If we try to have charity towards our neighbor, then our judgments are going to be charitable. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth that which is evil. If we want our judgments to be good, then we must make our hearts good through charity. And St. Francis de Sales gives very practical advice. He says, first, we should try to put the best interpretation on the actions of our neighbor. Why? Because charity thinketh no evil, but it rejoices in good. When we see that our neighbor has done something, we put the happiest interpretation we can on it. And St. Anselm said that certainly we will err. There are times when our neighbor will be doing evil and we'll suppose good of them. So we will be in error. That will happen. But he said, I would far rather err by thinking good of a bad man than by thinking evil of a good man. So we put the best interpretation on their actions. And then when we can't find an excuse, we really see no way to excuse this person, but we know that in general they are a good person, then we should do as Saint Joseph did, knowing that Our Lady was virtuous, knowing that she was holy, yet seeing her with child, he could not see a reason, and so he left the judgment to God. And that we must do the same when we can't find an excuse, put it in God's hands and be humble. We don't see the truth. And then St. Francis says, finally, when we can find no excuse, not even the good character of the person, then excuse them by ignorance or weakness. And he gives as an example Our Lord on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We are all ignorant and we are all weak. And it is only through God's mercy that we've been delivered from our sins. And we have to have that same forgiveness then when we're dealing with other people and realize they too are ignorant and they too are weak, just like I am. So in doing this, we'll fulfill the commandment, judge not. But we have to take a note. Certainly in times past, we could skip over this point. But in today's world, there's a false maxim. You hear people walking around saying, don't judge me. I won't judge them. And they use the same words as our Lord uses, but it's a totally different meaning. So we have to be aware of that. Yes, do not judge, but don't fall into that false maxim of the world. Don't judge in the sense of condoning sin, in the sense of letting people continue in their sinfulness. That is not what our Lord means. And we cannot confuse the same. When the world says don't judge, it's an assertion of false liberty. Let everyone do whatever they want. As long as they don't step on anyone else's toes, it's fine. And that's not true. We must condemn sin, but love the sinner. And leave the judgment of that sinner to God and do what we can to help them in true charity and true spirit of mercy. So we must be aware of that. And we also must be aware when we are in a position of authority, God does give us a duty to judge. A priest has a duty to judge in certain cases. A parent has a duty to judge his or her children. A civil magistrate has a duty to judge at times. And that's because God gave them that authority in those circumstances to make that judgment. But otherwise, we must follow our Lord's words, judge not. Yes, we are very poor judges, so let us leave the judgment to God. Let us be harsh on ourselves, but very lenient and forgiving of others. And having justly judged justly, mildly, and without haste and rashness, we will be able to be judged mercifully by Almighty God on the day of our judgment. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.